Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to all of our Tenpenny Files premium members that you can find the link at drtenpenny.com. During our deep dives, we have conversations with our guests about what inspires them and to find out a little bit more about who they really are. These guests have already done an interview with us at This Week with Dr. T for the general people and the general audience, but this introduction is to a conversation specifically for our premium members. But before I introduce today's guests, I do want to mention a word about our sponsor, which is MyPillow.com. You know, Mike Lindell and MyPillow plan to donate 10,000 pillows to the victims of the Kentucky December tornado, which was just blows my mind that in December we're having tornadoes, that they had at least 70 deaths in Kentucky. He's donating 10,000 pillows, which is a gift that's worth more than $500,000. So with his heart being in the right place, we are also an affiliate member of MyPillow. So if you go to MyPillow.com, and if you're not in the market to buy a new pillow, they have more than 200 different wonderful items in their store. And if you use our affiliate code, which is Dr. T, D-R-T, that helps us, that helps Mike, and it gives yourself, friends and family, great gifts now and in the future. So let me introduce to you today's guests, Sylvia and Ken Thornburg. Ken Thornburg was called to the Lord's Ministry Deliverance in 1971. He established Freedom Encounters in 1991. Sylvia joined him after their marriage in 1995. Today, over 150 Freedom Encounter trained team members minister within 14 nations on five continents. These teams function as respective partners and co-laborers to serve the people of God and expand his kingdom. Together, they share the mantle of responsibility of this ministry. Their vision is to fulfill the message written in Isaiah 61 and spoken by Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to tell the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce the release of prisoners and the recovery of the sight to the blind, to set oppressed people free, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor. Their ministry that you can find at freedomencounters.com will really teach you some of the most amazing things about how to release the demonic control and break the ties so that you can actually fulfill what the Lord's purpose is for your lives. So Sylvia and Ken, thank you. Welcome back. And thank you so much for doing this deep dive interview with for our premium members, that their $20 a month for all of the content that we provide helps to pay our bills and to help to keep our staff going, keeps me on the road to go teach at seminars. And so it's really important for them to get some premium content. So Ken, I want to start with you, and I want to ask you, where were you born and what was your childhood like, and what led you into the ministry?
Oh, small question.
Okay, go for it.
Born in Seattle. Okay. Pretty much all of my life has been from Utah, Spokane, Washington, Seattle, Washington, before coming Colorado. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just north of Denver during high school times. And then finally to beautiful Boise, Idaho. So, my childhood, I have no clue what my childhood was like. Almost no clue. I have very few memories. My parents got divorced, I think, when I was 1 year old. Mm. Yeah, something like that. Nobody ever wanted to talk about it. Mm. One of those families. And they never volunteered much. My father was not a nice man.
Your blood father.
My blood father, mm-hmm. Yeah. And my stepfather, who helped raise me from probably about age 7, 6, somewhere in there on, was extremely quiet. I mean, like really an introvert to the max. So I had these two extremes. My earthly father I ended up leading to Christ when he was 76. In fact, oddly enough, I taped the prayer time that I had with him, and I just happened to be listening to that conversation again for the first time in decades just yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Had a chance. And I'm listening to it, and I'm listening to him pray. And he prayed that prayer with total, complete seriousness. And I was like, wow, I didn't remember how serious he was and how he meant it. Then he says, I hope Joyce will go along and do the same thing, which was his wife.
You remember how he said
my
nobody
stepmother.
Else, nobody told him how?
No one in all his years in the church when he would go when he was younger told him how to accept Christ. And so, it's interesting because about 6 months later, he passed away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the timing was impeccable. And I was able to actually pray some deliverance for him and actually watch him completely change in front of our eyes. It was really exciting. So, yeah. So my mom loved the Lord. She wasn't really active at all. And so it was really quite a miraculous thing that I ended up attending fellowships where I could actually get involved in the church and help teach Sunday school and things like this and slowly have a path up in growing up. And I had a couple of brothers, which are great guys. Get along super with both of them. And they both know the Lord. But yeah, it was a tumultuous background because my father had major problems in the whole lust, pornography, sexual perversion realm. And he shared a lot of that with me, and that became a battleground, very honestly. And which, you know, in this ministry, I've learned about 100% of all men have it, and the ones that say they aren't are typically dead. So, you know, I mean, it's really not that far from the truth. And I think the guys listening are going, ooh, he's right.
You know? I think it's time to cut him off.
Yeah. Don't talk to him anymore, Dr. T. So, but it really was actually a good thing because God used that to help transform me into the guy I am today. And that I have teaching on this. I have a seminar on porn for men and women that is not shame-based. And partly because I learned the negative value of shame in that realm and low self-esteem. And I had to overcome that by learning my true identity in Christ. And that took a lot of years. It didn't just happen overnight. And that partly I have to thank my dad for, but also have to thank my heavenly dad for and helping break me out of that. And the ministry that we do, I actually got to perform parts of that ministry on myself, and it actually helped.
Andy.
Oh, yeah. And her too.
Where did her too be born and grow up?
Well, I was born in Nebraska, but thank the Lord, my parents moved us to Portland, Oregon. So I was able to grow up in the Northwest, and I'm really glad because I really like those mountains. My upbringing was also very dysfunctional. I was the youngest of three. My brother left home when he was barely 17, and my dad signed for him to go into the Air Force, and he went to escape. But basically, now I understand the brokenness of my family. And it caused me a lot of pain along the way. And it's hard to think about what I might share, but what happened was my dad had a vision from God that transformed his life. And the family thought he had gone Looney Tunes and they wanted to commit him. But in truth, he really met Jesus. And so it impacted our life. And my mom was a brokenhearted lady in her own upbringing, and she felt rejected. So she left us. And so my dad raised the three of us, and he was Norwegian. And I've learned since that they are non-emotive. Yeah. And I was the youngest and 7 years old, and I miss my mom. And he would just say, button it up. And so my emotional being was really crushed, and I didn't really know that. But the Lord sustained us all. And my dad is sitting with the table at Jesus, with Jesus, and so is my mom. And the Lord did wonderful transformations. But in terms of my life, excuse me, I became quite bitter at my dad and blamed him. And so I went away from God for 18 years, basically. And the Lord never forgot me. I was brought to him, you know, as a young, you know, in the Lutheran church, you go through confirmation, you do all that stuff. But the thing is I never met the true Jesus. I just knew about him, you know, in the Bible. And so I did a lot of trying to saw off the limb I was sitting on, choosing the wrong people, doing the wrong things. And God finally got a hold of me. And so all of that is to, we have to have a cord in the computer. All of that brought me back to Jesus stronger than ever and to the real relationship with the Lord. And I just really was born again in 1988. I mean, I was taught about it my whole life, but I really received the Holy Spirit, and my life was really changed from that time. So
no, I like the way you said that, you know, that people that know about him, but they don't know him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really, that's an important distinction, I believe, for people who are churchgoers or even Bible readers. You can know the history, you can know the Bible, you could recite it, but just knowing about the Bible doesn't really mean knowing the Bible and having a really relationship with this living person. This living person, Jesus is a living person, and it's right. God incarnate, you know, and I think that's so important. So in 1988, and then you say in your bio that you sent me that you joined Ken's service in 1995 after you got married. So, I mean, there has to be a marriage story in there somewhere, I think.
Yeah, I get to tell because I can put it. But the thing is I became a professional business lady. And when I met Ken, I was working for a company, software development company. God took me into the computer world. I worked 10 years with Hewlett Packard, and I was trained to be a teacher, but I wasn't called to teach small children. So I left that. So I had teaching skills. Then God opened this door, and I had worked my way through college and all that. So I was hired to run the sales office from an administrative point of view. And then I went into sales. And so I was trained by a really fine company. And when I met Ken, I was working for a software firm in Portland that developed software for computer-aided design. And this is really important that I'll tell you about later, because these are all stepping stones that prepared me to join this guy in this ministry. So in 1995, I was happily going on, Jesus, you and me, I don't need anybody. I'm never going to get married again. That hurts too much.
Me too.
And God brought me to meet him. And he came to Portland from Boise. And I received a call one night from a man who was a CPA. And he had done my taxes when I sold some stock. And I have this message, this is John, you've got to call me, it's urgent. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be audited. So I called him. He says, I've just been at this meeting and God told me I had to call you and take you to this meeting with this guy. And he's talking about things like deliverance and healing and everything. And I know you operate in all that. You've got to come. And I'm going, no, I'm not going with you. I don't even like you. I mean, he was married and all that. Long story short, I finally just paused and went, and the Lord said, mm-hmm, do it. So I went that night, and I felt like I was dropped into the fourth act of a four-act play. He was talking about all this stuff I knew nothing about. Good Christian lady, never taught anything. And I had been asking the Lord, why aren't I free in this and this and this area, which I won't go into, but he knows what it was. And when he was talking about all this stuff, the Lord saying, this is the answer. This is the answer. And he was talking about programming of the demonic, all that other stuff. And it was like behaviors and lie-based thinking and all that. So I went and I attended. When he came to town another month later, I attended. He invited me, would you like to come? And neither of us ever wanted to marry. And the long and the short of it is, I knew that it was God by the Holy Spirit. I had no grit, but I just knew it.
The teaching.
Yeah, and the ministry. I watched it, just like he watched that girl, and the link was set. So this went on March to like June, and I was helping him every time. God brought him to Portland a lot during that time. Mm-hmm. And so my leadership said, we're a little concerned that maybe you're getting off from your call, you know, your call to finance the kingdom. And I was very successful. God helped me in that for sure. So I said one day driving home, who is this guy? Because I don't want to miss your call, Lord. I'm driving away on the freeway. And he said, he's your husband. And I about drove off the road. So he talked to me about him the whole way. And I got home, got my tablet. I said, Holy Spirit, if that's you, you have to tell me what you said. And I wrote it all down. And I chewed on it for a couple of weeks. And I just said, well, Lord, you know what? I made mistakes my whole life. So if this is your choice, I'll say yes. This was like July. And when I made that decision, God changed my heart. And I began to pray for him and all of that. Well, this guy, he's getting stuff from everybody else saying, you're going to marry that lady and there's a woman coming in your life. And he's going, no way, like this.
I mean, a lot of people. And I'm like, no, God and I are doing just fine. I'm totally happy. I don't need to, you know, this,
I know.
Yada, yada,
so
yada.
One night, here it is in late August. He came and he prayed for my secretary at work. And we were friends, and I watched this knowing Heidi really well. And at dinner, I made a dinner and all that. And he said, I have a question. Has God ever told you anything about me? And I thought, oh, rude, crude word. And I'm thinking in seconds, do I tell him? I don't tell. Oh, I can't tell him that. Do you want to start on a life? And I finally said, do you want to know? And he said, I think so. So I got my piece of paper and I read it to him and he said,
that's not what I expected.
I wasn't expecting that. Well, he never told me till much later that he was getting all this stuff about me. So we never talked about it again. Mm-mm-mm. And so God proposed for both of us.
That's right.
And he finally gave in.
I finally gave in months later.
But before that, in October, my sister came down from Seattle and we're sitting in our sweats and everything. And I just said, Janet, when are you going home? Later, let's go out and look at wedding dresses. So we did. And I started trying on all these wedding dresses. Bottom line, I bought the dress, I bought the veil, I bought the shoes in October, and we didn't marry till the following May. By faith, I did this thing.
But God did not say, I want you to marry this woman until January. So I'm on the phone with her. I'm going, have you bought a wedding dress, by the way?
I had it all fitted.
Guess who implanted that thought? And she's like, I'm going, no way.
No, I'm thinking, do I lie? And I said, And he's screaming.
I mean, God grabbed
on her. Why didn't you tell me? And I said, you'd have gone to Tijuana. That's right. So God proposed to each of us for the
year. Yeah, we never dated.
But now look at it.
Yeah.
Can't imagine life.
26 years later.
Yeah. It was really rocky at first. And you know what? We walked the walk of the things that God taught us.
Yeah.
About brokenness, multiple personality stuff, all these things that the church has no clue about.
Yeah.
And so, so much of that's really what I want to communicate. I realized that the stepping stones and the doors that God opened prepared me for this ministry and this marriage.
And this also, fall,
really,
what we have gone through in our lives has built compassion for other people. Mm-hmm. We didn't grow up in these really perfect homes, and we can't understand why somebody is having this trouble because I never did. No, it's exactly the opposite. It's where you don't judge anybody else because guess what? You've been walking in their shoes and you remember what it was like. So it gives us God's love and compassion for these people that we minister to and that our teammates minister to around the world. You really care about them. They just aren't a number or a faceless entity that you're running through a machine. That is absolutely the opposite for Freedom Encounters in every aspect of it.
This is really something else that Ken ended up praying my deliverance in that early time in June.
Yeah.
And what I learned through going through that process and the healing of God is that in those years that I was so angry at God and I was going to just do my own thing, you know, I had love affairs, I did these other things, you know, and thank Jesus, he never forgot me. But I'll tell you what, those kinds of behaviors outside of the word of God, sexual sin outside of marriage is one of the number one ways that demonic enters into the human condition. So think about how the world is right now. Everybody's doing everything, and that creates umbilical cord connections. And part of the reason why I wasn't free, Dr. T, is that I had these connections from my other life that weren't taken out of the way and cut.
Yeah.
And after my deliverance, I tell people, I know my life before as only I can, and I know after. And let me say, after is best. And the things that plagued me, just like he was talking about the things that plagued him, they're taken out of the way by God. And it's like garbage out. I always say garbage out, God in. It's that simple and that perfect.
Yeah. It works.
It works. And it's amazing. We've been taught all these things along the way.
Yeah.
Well, you've done amazing things, not only with this ministry of Freedom Encounters, but also learning without any previous exposure on how to walk what the Bible talks about in terms of marriage, right? In terms of forgiveness and love is not just a feeling, but it's an action verb. It's an action word and all that. So as you've been doing this along that journey, you just said you've been married for 26 years. Are there a couple of events along the way that really changed the course of your personal lives and your lives together as husband and wife?
You want to go first?
Yeah, how many? Oh my gosh.
I know, which one, Lord?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
there is one event that changed my life totally. I mean, it took a U-turn. And it has to do with my relationship with the Lord Jesus. I was ministering with a Christian psychologist. The two of us were working with one of his clients. And as we're working with this woman who was a satanic, ritually abused person, I mean, very severe, suddenly everything changed in the session. Her whole countenance changed, and the Spirit of God says, Ken. We're looking at each other like, what in the world is this all about? I mean, I'm doing a deliverance, and suddenly there's total peace, total change. And I could tell it was God. It was the Spirit of God. He says, Ken, I'm going, yes, will you trust me no matter what? And I'm going, wow, that's an interesting one. And I thought about it for about 30 seconds. I said, yes, boom, it's gone. And I'm right back dealing with a demonic in this woman. And we're deprogramming her and getting her free and all this. 15 minutes later, same thing again. Boom, change. Ken, will you trust me no matter what? I'm going, excuse me, didn't we just cover that a few minutes ago?
This is getting scary.
Yeah, I'm thinking, that's sounding a lot like Peter, you know, this is kind of scary. And so I actually thought about it a little more. And I'd say probably a good minute and a half, which seemed like an eternity at the time. And I said, yes, I will trust you no matter what. Boom, gone. Guess what? 15 minutes later, I'm thinking, Peter and I must be related. You know, we're each getting the same question three times. And, but this time, I really spent a long time counting the cost and thinking of things that would occur. And would I continue to trust him no matter what? And especially emphasis on no matter what. And I'm seeing myself, you know, I don't have any shoes or socks on. I'm in the snow in the Boise Rescue Mission soup line. I mean, I'm thinking back on a show I saw on PBS like 20 years earlier, a missionary eating monkey brains in order to, you know, make the natives of that tribe happy. And I'm thinking, nothing could be worse than being a missionary in Africa eating monkey brains. I mean, literally, this is what was going through my mind. Obviously, it was so horrid. That's why I've never forgotten it. And I'm suddenly the Spirit of God interrupted. In my mind said, would your God ask you to do something that you would hate doing? And I'm just, oh, I mean, I just literally shook. Like I came out of a zone. And I said, no. I said, Lord, I don't have any option. There is no alternative. I will trust you no matter what. And out of the mouth, the Holy Spirit said, the Lord Jesus Christ said, yes, you do have a choice. And I want you to know that no matter what that choice is, I am going to continue to love you. And of course, I just fell apart. The psychologist next to me is like, oh, I mean, he was just an utter shock.
God moment.
Yeah, it was a total God moment. And everything changed in my life at that point. I had drawn the line in the sand. And I can honestly say since then, I have trusted him no matter what. I don't care. Cancer diagnosis, whatever I've gone through. It has been where I've been able to trust him no matter what. No matter how much opposition to the ministry, no matter how many attacks, whatever. It doesn't matter. I mean, you name it that I've gone through. It absolutely changed my life. And so I've had a lot of phenomenal experiences with God, but that was the one that
laid the foundation.
Mm-hmm. It just created a total U-turn, but one where I verbalized it. And I tell you, I'm so, so thankful that he showed up that night and stayed with me and kept asking that question until I really had a chance to recognize the seriousness. Because within two weeks, all hell broke loose for 2.5 years. Every week for 2.5 years, I got word of some lies that were being spoken about me by individuals in the state of Idaho. I mean, counselors and pastors, people I had prayed with every week for who knows how long, and all kinds of stuff and slander and whatever. And I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And every time it was, will you trust me no matter what? Oh, yeah. And in 2.5 years, he led me through another instance. I won't go into detail, but to remove the fear of man and fear of man's opinion. And at the end, and when I just said, whoa, okay, I see it. I understand that. Yeah. Okay, that's over. That's done. I don't care what man says about me anymore. Instantly stopped. 2.5 years, every week, boom, stopped. It was phenomenal. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an incredible testimony. And, you know, I've done a lot of podcasts in the last year and a lot of deep dives with various people that have had similar stories that something has happened in their life. They mm-hmm. said, you know, I said, you know, like, Lord, make me the best person I can be. And the Lord says, will you trust me no matter what? Meaning like, what sort of fire do I have to, are you going to walk through for me to answer that prayer in your life, you know, like I did before I testified at the state House of Representatives meeting this summer, 2 days before that happened, I said this prayer almost every morning, you know, Lord, you play 4D chess, you know, four dimensional chess, and you know, all the players and all the moves, the beginning and the end, and you know, the beginning and the end of my life and all of this stuff that's going on. You know, when you make the move today of my life, put me in the best possible place that you can put me on the chessboard of where I can make the biggest difference. And 2 days before I did that testimony, I said, you know what, Lord, we got to do something bigger because I'm doing a lot of these podcasts. I'm doing hundreds and hundreds of interviews, but I'm kind of preaching to the choir. We got to reach somebody different. So wherever you put me, Lord, you know, I'll take it on, whatever the consequences are that you do, but just put me in the best possible place. Well, be careful what you ask for, right? Because, you know, 2 days later, I was in Columbus, Ohio, testifying in front of the health committee. And before I do any talks, before I get on the stage in front of anybody, I always just say, Lord, be the ventriloquist. Just move my mouth and say the things you want me to say. And to the people who are sitting out there, something important, you know, let me be the flow through vessel. So I did the same thing, did this testimony, and boy, they blew it up all over the internet. They took everything I said out of context. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel, Brian Williams, you know, all of these people started making fun of me. It's been continuing. Even this week, I got another article from API talking about this crazy things that I said that they took out of context in front of the health committee. Now, the good news about that, I mean, as soon as it happened, Ken, I was just like, well, look at there. It just like, it was so physical manifestation to me of God heard me and did it. And even though it was ugly, I had no feeling of fear, no feeling of anything. Even now, like, you know, all these months later, because every time that comes out in the popular press, like Brian Williams, who called me out by name, and Jimmy Kimmel, who made fun of me by name, and, you know, all these other people, my name got out in front of the left and
that's
the far.
That's exactly right.
And all of the people that would have never heard of me before, our website blew up the number of hits that we got. And also the stuff that I said that people started researching, they're like, they'd never heard it before. Then suddenly they started researching, went, oh my goodness, there's more to this story. So it's like, man, that was God, you know, suddenly we were all over the internet, all over mainstream media. And it's gone on. I mean, that was in June. I mean, it's 6 months later, it's still going on. And so, you know, and I had no anxiety about it. It was just, well, I asked, God said, you're in. And so I was. And so sometimes you just have that thing that just happens. And as soon as you let go of it and let go of the consequences and said, okay, Lord, I trust you, I'm in. it just happens, you know?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, I listened to some of that testimony when I was first, you know, getting acquainted with you and heard your testimony before them and thought, oh boy, I did. I thought, oh boy. But, you know, this is where I need to be cautious. But it's just like, talk about not learning and listening. It's like Satan pulls this stuff. And doesn't he see by all the scripture that when he comes against the things of God, he gets slammed and then God expands it?
Yeah.
God expands them, you know, whatever. So I'm waiting for this move of God to happen because of what's happening now.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, you just keep putting one foot in front of the other and doing what you keep doing every single day. Have you had a similar type of aha moment in your life, Sylvia?
I've had several, and I've been, while he's telling this wonderful story, I never get tired of hearing it. I was thinking, Lord, which one? And since you asked about the great love story of our meeting and what God did to put us together and the wedding dress and all that, we were even appeared in Charisma magazine one Valentine's Day. I want to say what happened after the perfect marriage. It was a beautiful day. We had a wonderful honeymoon. We came back and I moved here and all hell broke loose. And it seemed like I was so caught up with the fact that this was my true marriage in God. I had married the man that God ordained. I was joining him in this wonderful ministry. And what happened was the enemy came. We had that wonderful respite God gave to us, and the enemy came full throttle. And it was so hard because what happened was I had believed God. I had believed him. I made a decision. I trusted him. The wedding and everything, this story everybody loves is so romantic. The enemy came at our broken parts. Both of us had parts that were shattered from our childhood. My little girls were still mad at my dad, and he reminded them of him. And I mean, my little girls made him mad because of his mom, and he reminded us of dad, and we started literally trashing each other and shredding each other emotionally. It was horrible. And we walked through that. And one day I said, this was a life change. I said, we have listened to the devil, and I'm leaving because I couldn't bear it. It hurt me so bad. This, it just looked like everything had crashed and everything was a joke and a demonic joke at that. And I made him take me to the airport. I was still working in my business thing and I traveled quite a bit. I said, I'm out of here. I don't know how I'm going to handle this, but I'm leaving. Well, I got to the airport, got on the plane, and this was clear back when, and this was like, they didn't have the instruments. And I'm sitting there and I'm just in anguish, just, you know, I'm totally run by my emotions. And the pilot comes on and says, ladies and gentlemen, we don't understand this, but a fog has rolled in and we can't leave because we don't have the instruments. Fog never comes to Boise.
Never.
I got off the plane. I took a cab home. I rang the doorbell and he opened the door looking at me like, and I said, I can't even leave. Well, what happened to that? Is God began to teach us about these parts and we walked it prophetically. That's why we know what we know.
But a lot of revelation about special spirits that are working in marriages. Yeah.
But the crucible was, I had to come to the Lord and he said, here's the question. Did I say it or not? And I had to think back on it all and everything. And he said, did you hear from the enemy or from me? And I had to do what he did. You don't do that. You don't mock your children. You don't do all these things. And so I made a quality decision. And I said, Lord, I repent for doubting your word. I wasn't prepared for this emotional onslaught, which showed me the shattered position of my soul. I had no idea. I was angry at God, angry at man, angry. And that's what God has walked us through. But I said, God, I repent. I'm sorry I didn't trust you. And this is really the issue that we walk with all the time. Did we hear from the Lord or not? Has God said? The enemy doesn't change that question. And I had to say, I will never do this again by your grace. And I told him, I am so sorry. I will never consider divorce or leaving this marriage that God has ordained again. And it was huge because it shifted us into this walk prophetically that we have walked.
Both of us.
And we have learned through it. Yeah. And that's what we teach. And we try to be transparent as much as possible because people will go, well, if you had all that, then maybe I can be okay.
Yeah, we even have a very non-traditional marriage seminar that we give. You know, things and looking at things from a direction you just don't get from a typical one. And so, you know, it was a result of the fruit, actually, of what we had to walk through.
We've learned
after that first year.
The enemy wants, the minute we say I do, the enemy comes because he knows that it wasn't good for them to be alone, him to be alone.
Yeah.
And God said, I'll make a helpmeet. Well, when he joins us in one flesh, there's that two that agrees and nothing can, they can't stop us. Where two or more agree on earth, it'll be done. So they want to divide this because the fullness of the Godhead and dwells here.
It was then we learned from Marriage Ministries International. We took actually the leadership course for that. A little just shortly thereafter. Yep. And one of the key phrases in that we have used, I don't know, hundreds of times in our own marriage, but also in our teaching. And it's a simple phrase, the enemy is the enemy. You know, you are not my enemy.
When we start to
and
have
I am
this,
not your enemy.
This ping pong, you'll go, wait a minute.
The enemy is the enemy.
I'm not your enemy.
That's right. And I mean, it just has changed everything. The focus of the,
sometimes I think that what shifts things is it is making a solid commitment, particularly in marriage. You know, I've been married twice. You know, my first husband was, that was a disaster.
And so
was my first wife.
And so it was, you know, when we made it to our first anniversary, I was like, phew, we made it a whole year. And I went, wait, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that statement? And then when we made it to the second anniversary, I said, there's not going to be a third. There's just no way. And so, you know, and it was a long and kind of really ugly divorce. It took much longer than it should have, considering we'd only been married 2.5 years and we had no children and no common property. And it just dragged on forever. And that was, I got divorced in 91. And then it wasn't until 2004 when I met Kevin. And we met through a mutual friend, and we met in March, on March 23rd, and got married September 4th. And so
there you go.
And he was living in Southern Maryland and I'm living in Ohio. And, you know, it was a second marriage for both of us. We got married in Honolulu because we wanted to go far enough away that that nobody could drop in and nobody would be offended that they weren't invited, you know. So
that's called wisdom.
So we did that. And, you know, then we were married just under 10 years when Kevin died suddenly of a heart attack, sadly. And it'll be 8 years, January 15th, that he's been gone. But I just share that story to say that, you know, we didn't know each other very well when we got married either, kind of like you guys. And we just made this commitment that we were going to do it no matter what. And Kevin was, my nickname for Kevin, he was Mr. Happy Guy. He was the happiest human being I've ever known. I never heard him say a bad word about anybody. He just rolled with the punches and all the stuff. And then after he passed and his three brothers came to Ohio to the funeral, his brothers looked at me and he said, you know, you always called Kevin your Mr. Happy Guy. Let me assure you, he wasn't always just a happy guy. It's because he was so happy being with you and he was willing to just go along with it, you know? Yeah. So I think that sometimes when you just make a commitment, there's just something there that You know, and we weren't even, you know, really big, you know, into the Bible or any of those things. I mean, my real big commitment to the Lord, really real commitment didn't come until 2020. And so, but I, you know, sort of like you, Sylvia, you know, I'd been in churches and done all kinds of things. And I spent about 20 years doing all the new agey stuff. I lost track of the number of astrologers I've talked to and, you know, readings that I've had, you know, tarot readings and all this other stuff forever. I mean, so, you know, you kind of come full circle that when you come back to where you really need to be and you get into the word, like what you guys were doing with your marriage, you stood on those marriage vows and you stood on what the epistles all say about what a marriage is supposed to be between a man and a woman. And like you said, I think that's beautiful. You know, everybody's going to have arguments. They're going to have discrepancies because you're two people trying to inhabit and stay together. And so, you know, but if you use that phrase, that's beautiful. The enemy is the enemy. You are not my enemy. And we can agree peacefully and agree to disagree. And if we talk it through, maybe we don't even disagree.
Well, that's the truth. What we also have learned is, and for me, we were on the subject of trust. And part of my difficulty in walking this walk is we are dealing with the liar. And I had a great fear that we would be led astray and that we would be deceived and to be wrong. And another thing that happened is I suffered with that, the insecurity along the way. And one day God said to me, sweetheart, why do you have more faith in the enemy's ability to deceive you than my ability to keep you true? Oh, and that was the Lord.
Yeah.
And so we both have discernment, but when we came together, this is the point I want to make, is his dysfunction and my dysfunction and all the wrong modeling we have came together in a climactic kind of like this all the time. It was just like this. And what we learned is the very fodder or content of our ministry. People come to us in this condition. And we know that life has made them thus, and the enemy right in the middle, like I said, never occurred to me he was in the way. And people come because they're a wreck and they're hurt and they're traumatized and they have all kinds of things. So we need to get the enemy out of there, like taking out the trash. And then God deals with the impact of it all being there all those years.
And yet, you know, on another discussion we had earlier, I talked about John Eldridge. Well, I'm on one of my quarterly retreats with the Lord at our cabin, and I'm reading Wild at Heart. Great book for men, one of the best. And in the middle of that, all of a sudden the Lord says, my son, have you given your wife your whole heart? And of course, I give a flippant answer. Well, I'm sure I have. And I go on reading. And I hear this, might as well have been thunder. Yeah, really. It's like,
Excuse me.
Yeah. Why do you think I asked you that question, my son?
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear. Here we go. He's going to do it again. Well, the upshot of the whole thing is it's quite a humorous story. But he had me come home, says, don't take any boxes, don't take any books, don't take anything in, just go straight into the kitchen from the garage, call in Sylvia and tell her you've given her your whole heart. And I'm going, oh man, this could end up disastrous, you know, I'm thinking that. Well, of course, the exact opposite happened and I'm going, phew. You know, but that, just like the no matter what experience, that was one of those times when I drew that line in the sand and the Lord says, you can trust her. Well, I had never had one woman in my entire life that I could trust. So when he said that, it was like, wow, I have been betrayed so many times. I mean, I can't even count them on two hands. And so this is why I didn't want to get married, right? I mean, hello, it's like, why would I want to add to that number? So when he said, you can trust her, and I would like you to give her your whole heart. And I go, okay, I will. Now, going, okay. So he and I went through the process together at our cabin. And I'm like, whoa, I have just made a major decision. And I knew that. And my heart shifted.
God put a key in there.
Oh, man. Yeah, totally. It just like,
it was different. Click,
open.
Because Ken would come home and he would proceed to tell me all the things he did. He is an achiever. He keeps lists. He finishes things and all that. It's like, I did this and I did this and I did this and I did this. I'm going, but how'd you feel?
Guilty.
And yeah. So it's like, this is also part of it, is our locks, our yeah. hearts get locked up. And what we have found 100% mm-hmm. of the time, Dr. Tim, is that people will say, I know that God loves me. Yes, I believe God loves me. Mm-hmm. But the heart is the experience base yeah. that says, yeah, but if he loves me, why this and why that? And yeah. so there's a disconnect between here and here in yeah. everybody, which is part yeah. of what the enemy wants to have separated as long as mm-hmm. and separation of God's yeah. people all the time. It's just so,
yeah.
it's just so real. It's the human condition and what God is working on.
Wow. Well, yeah. as we're winding down towards the end of our hour here for... I know. For this,
it's only been 5 minutes.
I know. I have to come to Idaho is what I was going to say. Yes, it'll be lovely. But as we're kind of winding down in this deep dive discussion, which has just been beautiful, and so much about heart, which is just a beautiful place to have this right before Christmas. I mean, we're doing this right before Christmas, and it's actually going to be our last deep dive conversation for this year, because we'll start again after the first of the year. Mm-hmm. What words of advice and would you offer in loving kindness? Because both of you are just such joys, and you're just such joys to talk to and be around, and your whole life story is just a testimony to who you are and what you do for others. What would be your year-end message you'd like to leave with our listeners here as we close out on our deep dive today?
Wait, oh yeah, right.
I defer to you. Honey.
Yeah,
well, right. I sit here and think.
I knew there was an entrapment coming.
Oh, doesn't it say submit to your husband and all?
Oh, brother, it's getting really deep. Okay. Yeah. I spent 6 years in 12-step for a reason of recognizing, you know, malarkey when I hear it. So.
Well, that's a nice word for it. Okay.
Oh, wow. What good word. Honest. If people were to put themselves in the place I was when I had that no matter what experience, and to really sit down quietly in his presence, in God's presence, and allow him to ask them, will you trust me no matter what? And consider what they would say. And I mean, seriously consider. Mm-hmm. Not be flippant like I was the first time, or halfway serious the second time. But that third time, when I got to really count the cost, if we are not fully committed to him, how can we be fully committed in a marriage? How can we be fully committed to our children?
Anything.
Yeah, to mm-hmm. our job, to anything that we do. For me, it was ministry, because I'm involved in a ministry that is not exactly high in the hit parade in the typical church. Amen. I mean, it's like, whoa, you don't find it in 99% of the churches, and the other 1%, they're just kind of shoved to the side. So it's one of those things where commitment and focus has got to be there. And they need to ask themselves, would I really trust him no matter what in this time of all the phony
people that's coming,
vaccinations, you know, I call it phony, but whatever. It just, it's something they really need to ask him before Christmas. It could absolutely change their lives.
Well, it will. And I would just add to this, and it goes back to, have you read about him? Do you say yes to him, or do you know him? One time the Holy Spirit said to me when I was brushing my teeth, how do you love someone that you don't know? And I remember taking the thought and saying, you don't. And he says, love me with all your heart, right? Your soul and your strength. And if we just know about him, we won't love him from our heart, because this is really what it's about. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart, we believe. And so we hear a lot about the soul and all that, mind, will, and emotions and all of that. But right now, God is working on our hearts. And one time he said to me early on when I met Ken, I want to say it was like 1997. He said something that was profound. He said, I said, why did you do this knowing the end from the beginning? What a wreck it all is. I don't get it.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, how I decided to trust my own heart. How do I know that I am love unless I test my own heart? And I submit that what he's teaching me is really the subject of a book he's going to write, is that he knew the end from the beginning. He knew it. He had the solution and the whole thing. Lamb of God crucified, all of that. When he walked the walk, what he didn't know was what he experienced as a result of walking with his creation, and how he would feel and how it would break his heart. And there was no other way except the way of Jesus, because God reveals his heart through his son. And that is the true message, that he's the one worth knowing. He's the one, only one we can trust.
That's right.
And it's taken me a lifetime, honestly, to this month, to become to a place where I understand that the enemy has come from the moment we were conceived to steal the seed that he sowed into this world. But we are of him, by him, and through him, through the Holy Spirit and the resurrection power of God. Mm-hmm. And if we just know about all that and don't take time to say, help me to receive your revelation, that's what we need. But we're all so busy. So that's what I would say. Slow down. Wait upon the Lord and say, I need help. I can't do this. I don't know how. Would you help? Amen.
Amen. That is both beautiful and absolutely profound. And what a beautiful message to end our conversation here today with our deep dive. I know it's going to mean so much to our premium members. And this is a message that we need to hear all year round, but what a beautiful message right before Christmas. So I thank both of you so much, Ken and Sylvia. I want to thank you so much for your candid disclosure, for your fun, for your laughter, for the love of your heart, for the message that you give to me and to everybody else listening to this now and in the future. And after such a great conversation, I'm just so grateful to learn so much more about you that I never would have known if we wouldn't have set up this conversation. It's just awesome.
Thank you.
So as we close out today, I want to say a special thank you to you, our premium members, and a special blessing that you are in our lives for your monthly support, because it allows us to have conversations like this. It allows me to travel and go to seminars and pay all of our employees, and we've got a lot of them, and because we need them, because in order to do what we need to do. So I thank you for your kindness and your patience as we rebuild what was taken from us through censorship on all of the social media platforms, the crash that Podbean did to all of our podcasts, and PayPal canceling us. You know, and you people that don't use PayPal in business, they just do little transactions. You don't understand how hugely devastating that is to business, because there are a lot of financial processors that will take money for you, like if you're selling a product. But if you're trying to pay bills or trying to pay employees, because we have a very virtual team, there's nothing. It's been just unbelievably difficult. And a lot of difficulties that we had with everybody who had signed up with for the premium membership on a monthly billing, and PayPal's no longer billing you, and we've lost hundreds of you. So we thank you so much for your patience as we rebuild this, as we're putting the pieces back together again. And we promise, as coming into our new year, that our content, our products, and our podcasts will be better than they ever were before in the new drtempany.com, which will be launched after the first of the year. So thank you so much, Sylvia and Ken Thornburg. I can't wait for people to go to freedomencounters.com and learn more about your work and support all the work that you guys are doing to make the world a better place. So with that, I want to end with, like I always do, we'll end this year with Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until we meet again after the first of the year and going into 2022, until the next broadcast, stay strong, stay in prayer, and lean into God. He'll never let you down. He wants to know all the big and small things in your life. So don't forget to ask. So until we see you again the next time, Ken and Sylvia, thank you so much. Thank you to everybody that's listening. Happy Merry Christmas. God bless, and Happy New Year.